This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The open office or the open plan office is a really interesting thing because almost everyone who uses it thinks it's this new hip design that was created by hipster millennials, and that the reason their office follows this concept is because it's the way of the future. So you can't really complain, right? Because this is progress. This is what all modern progressive offices should look like, right? Well, not exactly. If you tuned into last week's episode about the history of cubicles and other office spaces, you'll know by now that open plan offices aren't exactly the millennial masterpieces that companies make it out to be. The truth is, open plan offices are the concept of an open office with no walls and no barriers between employees is very, very old. It's the earliest type of workspace that dates back to ancient Rome, used around the medieval era, and it housed employees that did routine work, while tabulariums and scriptoriums, which were the earliest forms of cubicles, were used for scholars and illuminators of the time. So here's the problem. If open offices aren't new and they aren't the way of the future, then why do so many companies, 70% in the US alone, employ the open office concept when designing their workspace? You'll hear a lot of reasons if you ask around. It's supposed to boost productivity, it's meant to encourage a deeper connection among employees, it's supposed to create a freer, more conducive environment. Tons of reasons, but here's another truth. None of these claims have been proven. In fact, there are comprehensive studies that have shown that the open offices do the opposite of everything that they are supposed to, and that the logic behind these designs is fundamentally flawed. Today's episode is going to be all about those flaws and the reasons why these supposedly trendy modern offices might not be working the way employers and employees think they do, as well as some of the things that can be done to fix those problems without revamping the entire workspace. This is 5 for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj, and today we're talking about the reasons why open offices don't really work. Okay, so before I continue, I just want to say that this episode isn't meant to write off every open office out there or serve as some sort of blanket statement that all open offices are bad and we should all go back to cubicles. I'm actually recording this episode and broadcasting this episode from what is essentially an open office. BFM is an open office. And the reason it works is because the design serves the purpose of the station and serves the people in it, instead of the other way around. Even then, it gets a bit crazy for us, and we all know it, and we all know how to handle those periods with like designated quiet spots and private spaces. So yeah, you know, it's important to understand that the original idea behind the modern open plan office, not the traditional one, but the modern one that we've sort of copied now, was based on meticulous planning and intricate architecture. The logic was pretty much flawless, and it did boost productivity, and it did encourage employee communication in every way. It's these poor copies of that design that don't work, and that's what we're talking about today.
Number one.
So, if modern open offices weren't designed to boost productivity, and if companies knew that they weren't beneficial to employees, then why keep opting for the open design? Well, it's simple if you think about it, because everything boils down to money. And the one thing that open offices do without fail is help the company save money, at least from a building and real estate perspective. So when companies take up spaces in buildings or shop lots or, you know, wherever they want their office to be, they need to figure out a way to fit all of their people into whatever space that they can. Now, when cubicles were the norm, companies had no choice but to take up enough real estate to make room for all this extra furniture, right? But with open offices, that fundamental problem is gone, basically. It's taken care of. Now, you have these long conjoined desks with about 5 employees sitting on either side, meaning that each row accommodates about 10 grown adult people. So that, by any measure, is some prime value for your real estate. By removing borders and dividers and walls, you basically quadruple the amount of people that you could fit into the same space than you would if you needed cubicles. The thing is, no one would have agreed to this if it wasn't for the logic of Generation Y and the millennials, who were so fed up with boxed up lonely cubicles that they decided to tear everything down and embrace minimalism, which is a core trait of that, of our generation. Just the idea of removing barriers and socializing more freely at work, getting rid of hierarchies and completely flipping the traditional mindset of what an office is supposed to look like eventually led to the comeback, not the invention, mind you, the comeback of open plan offices. And because of how much it's associated with an anti-establishment movement, it's hard to argue against it without sounding like some backwards conventional bumpkin. Speaking of establishments, meanwhile, establishments realized that this is what millennials wanted, but also that these borderless offices costed them a lot less to build, so they just went with it. It's like a win-win in that sense. The only problem is people were not socializing or doing more work like they thought they would. More on that later.
Number 2.
Okay, so the first real functioning open office, the one that everyone tries to replicate these days, was designed by an American architect named Frank Lloyd Wright. He designed hundreds of buildings. He designed thousands, actually, but hundreds got built. And mostly he designed mansions and homes. But in 1939, he created his best work and one that would change work culture forever when he designed the new open office concept for the SC Johnson building. Go look it up. It's a beautiful design. The workspace was wide, it had no borders, it had no cubicles, it was lit by panels, like these giant panels of light on a very high ceiling, and the sections, quote-unquote, the sections were basically vaguely divided by these slim cylindrical pillars or pylons that kind of resembled giant orchids. So the building was designed based on something called organic architecture, meaning that every space has to have a natural, comfortable flow with its inhabitants. And it did, you know. Like I said, the design was a masterpiece. Everyone had their own desks with enough space between them. But it was also open and communal, and it encouraged communication while also prioritizing comfort. So, fast forward to a few decades later, and the modern open offices, the ones that we have now, are essentially copies of Frank Wright's design, but without every fundamental aspect that made his designs work. Today's offices basically remove all the major design elements like the organic architecture, the colors, the lighting, the space between people, and just kept the bare minimum concept of everyone just sits together in one big workspace. So even the desks, the long shared desks, is a modern choice that's actually based on nothing. There is no logic to back up why we use those desks. So going back to the first point, it's essentially a space saver. Stick around, we'll talk more about open offices and why they don't really work when we come back. BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Five for Fortune. I am Arvind Yuvaraj, and we are talking about open offices on this episode and why they don't exactly work the way they are supposed to.
Number 3.
If there's one way to back up a claim, it's by using science. So I pulled these stats from a well-researched, well-written article on workfront.com that basically lays out a number of studies that were conducted on open offices that show why open plan offices actually work against themselves. So I'm going to run down some of these findings almost verbatim from the article. So first off, a review of over 300 papers from 67 journals found that open office layouts were found to be highly significant in affecting occupant productivity. sound and acoustic strategies should be given high priority in open design to achieve a high degree of occupant productivity. So basically, they're saying that you should concentrate on your acoustics and your sound so that there's not too much pollution and that there's not too much noise in open offices that can be a very big problem. Another review of more than 100 studies on open offices found that the layout consistently led to lower rates of concentration and focus. And a third paper, which analyzed more than 50 surveys on open offices, found consistent complaints about noise and interruption. So again, going back to looking after your sound and acoustics. Research from the University of California added that employees who were frequently interrupted report a 9% higher rate of exhaustion. Another survey of 38,000 knowledge workers found that one of the biggest losses of productive time during the day stemmed from interruption from colleagues. And then there's another one that comes from research from Edward Brown, who is the co-founder of the Cohn Brown Management Group, found that 93% of workers say they are often interrupted at work. He adds that 68% of those interruptions coming from inside the organization, and says that face-to-face interruptions account for one-third more interruptions than email or phone calls. Now, moving forward, researchers at Lund University interviewed employees who recently switched to an open office. So they were in a traditional cubicle-based office and then they switched to an open office, and they found that employees' perception of health, work environment and performance decreased during a 12-month period following relocation. And finally, researchers from Carlslund University found that the more workers were gathered into a single office space, the less satisfied they became. Now, according to the study, this was in part because these workers felt it was harder to have a good dialogue with their colleagues, likely because everything they say would be overheard by someone else who they didn't want eavesdropping on their conversation. And surprisingly, this means that open offices often end up hurting work relationships.
Number 4.
People are social animals. There's no denying that. We seek connection with one another. We move in tribes or our group. We have herd mentality and we prioritize relationships. But in a weird, contradictory way, studies have shown that humans also have an inherent, almost fundamental need for privacy. Now, keep that logic in mind, and suddenly, open offices don't seem to provide the basic needs for their employees, right? You're constantly in a social environment, even when you don't want to be, and because of that exposed feeling, a lot of employees cut down on open communication because they're worried they'll be overheard by people around them. Here's a clip from the PBS NewsHour channel that covers this topic and examines the quality of communication in open offices.
A new study shows moving to an open office layout dramatically cuts employees' face-to-face conversations by as much as 70%.
The study, led by behavior researchers at Harvard University, looked at two Fortune 500 companies before and after their global headquarters switched to open offices. It's the first to directly measure how open office layouts influence face-to-face and digital communication.
To track in-person interactions, 150 employees in total wore what are called sociometric badges, made by an analytics firm called Humanize. The badges seem ordinary, but are packed with tons of tech. Their infrared and motion sensors can detect when people are facing each other, even in groups.
And their microphones can capture when individuals are speaking. That sounds invasive, but the devices don't actually record what is said.
Face-to-face conversations at both headquarters dropped dramatically, regardless of an employee's department.
Product development, sales, human resources, even top leadership, everyone stopped talking in person.
Instead, they turned to email and instant messaging. Online communications rose almost as much as chatting in person fell.
Though the sample size is small, one company in the study also found its new open offices reduced productivity.
Past surveys of open offices, though the findings are mixed, report drop-offs in focus and employee satisfaction.
Here's why this might be happening.
Open offices are sold as a way to inspire collective intelligence through architectural design, a concept that's pulled from nature. Bees, ants, and other social animals build spaces that maximize their cooperation.
But guess what? Humans aren't bees. Though we like being social, behavior studies show that humans have a fundamental desire for privacy, and impinging on that privacy can decrease workplace productivity.
The problem is, not all open office spaces are created equal when it comes to maintaining privacy. In 2016, Gensler Architecture Firm conducted a nationwide survey of 4,000 office workers across 11 industries.
They found the most effective open offices use shared desks with high barriers, high enough that you must stand to see your deskmate. As the height of the barrier drops, so does workplace effectiveness.
The two companies in the Harvard study both installed shared desks with no barriers.
The Harvard team and the architect at Gensler said noise is one of the big problems here. When it comes to noise, the worst kind of space is wide open, with lots of glass, hard floors, and hard ceilings, all of which fail to absorb sound.
Noise can be distracting in and of itself, but it can also influence one's sense of privacy.
If I can hear my colleague talking from across the room, I might be concerned they can also hear anything I say.
Number 5.
So here's the thing. Everything that we've talked about in this episode, the problems with communication, being too exposed, lack of privacy, noise and visual pollution, distractions, poor design, all of that can be fixed by understanding one simple thing, that open offices are not a one-size-fits-all concept. They need to be tweaked and changed according to the people that they are serving. Now, this is important because a lot of open offices are taken from template designs, or they are basically second-hand mishmashes of a bunch of other offices just meshed together. According to a really insightful video by Vox on the Vox YouTube channel called Open Offices Are Overrated, the idea behind an open office is genius. It is pretty much the way of the future, or it was the way of the future before it got ruined by one too many copycats. But if a company is implementing an open plan office for, say, a telco company, it can't use the same design and people placements as, say, a video production house. The arrangements and the basic quote-unquote flow of the office needs to cater for whatever purpose it's serving, which is why both employers and employees need to understand that open offices are a great idea, but they're not a one-size-fits-all kind of concept. A lot of customization needs to be done. So if there's a lot of routine work at the workplace, maybe communication isn't key. So maybe a lot of designated private spots need to be built. Or another alternative is to have barriers on desks that slightly exceed the eye level, meaning a person has to stand to see the colleague in front of them. This creates, you know, it basically creates a private space while also taking advantage of open office design. It's basically the best of both worlds. It's the small things like that that could really help these giant flaws with open plan offices. And the reason companies should do it, according to Vox again, the reason companies should do this is because it's worth it. Frank Wright's original idea is genius, again, and it's way too good to just dismiss because of the way open offices are built now. With a bit of thought and a lot of tweaking, open plan offices can become what they were always meant to be. A space for active communication that encourages connections and enhances productivity. Okay, that is all the time that we have for this episode. If you miss any parts of the show, you can always find it and stream it again on the BFM app, which is of course available for free on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on 5 for Fortune, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.